Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 down through 29. Notice what the first word is in verse 24. What is it? Okay, we're going to talk about it. I just want to draw your attention to, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great, what a sad phrase, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Heavenly Father, thank you for words that have authority. Thank you for a Savior who gave us these great truths. Lord, as we focus on this theme and we kind of kick off some ideas, just start our folks starting to think and to meditate upon some of these precepts. I pray, Lord, that they would be developed strongly in our lives, that we would not only know them, but learn how to apply them in all of the varied areas of our life. Lord, we want to strengthen, dear God, the families of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We want to strengthen our church family. Lord, I believe, I don't know, but I believe that there's some storms coming, Lord. There's a certainty about that in the scriptures here. And so, Lord, I would pray, dear God, we'd be properly prepared. Use this time to help us, Lord, in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you a lot of things that I will not develop tonight. If I was going to say to you, okay, in one message, in about 25 to 30 minutes, in one message, preacher, give us an idea of the different things that you're going to spend time on in much more detail. This is a presentation of that. We're not going to get buttonholed. We're not going to just get tied to where we feel like we have to every Sunday night or every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night be tied to this. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Lord directs us to do, we'll do. But I do know that He is pointing me in the direction of helping us to double-check the foundations that we're laying and then to properly build upon those foundations. I jotted down some thoughts and I wanted to kind of give. I've been developing this for some time. But I'm going to give you an idea or an overview of the things that this parable teaches, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things we'll be teaching in the future from this parable. I wrote down this little phrase to start me out, to help me to get thinking and meditating. I wrote down this: the wise man was wise because... dot, dot, dot. And that helps me, all right? When I'm wanting to discern all of the teachings of Christ and slow down and really ponder and look and dig things out. Well, we see here that two different types of men are presented in this parable. There is one man that's identified as a wise man, and there's another one identified as a foolish man. And so obviously there's some differences here. We'll talk about the foolish man later, but I'm really going to focus on the wise man, at least in this introduction message. The wise man was wise because... And so I began to look slowly at the portion of Scripture. And one of the things that, the first word that drew my attention in verse 24 is the word whosoever. Let me give you several thoughts about this wise man tonight. The wise man was wise because he took advantage of an opportunity offered. He took advantage of an opportunity offered. Now I want to give you some good news. The principles that we're going to teach tonight and in the weeks ahead isn't just for some select group of Christians. This is one of those great whosoever verses in the Bible. I like whosoever verses because I don't have to question, I don't have to ponder, I don't have to wonder, I don't have to come and say, God, is this for me? I can know immediately that He's included me in this. Well, preacher, not our family. Yes, your family. Not my children. Yes, your children. Not my marriage. Yes, your marriage. Not my venture. Yes, your venture. Whosoever. Isn't that great? Whosoever. This is offered to all. Now, wait a minute. A lot of the whosoever opportunities, we do not avail ourselves to. God can offer a whosoever opportunity, but it's still each incumbent upon each of us to decide that we're going to grab hold of that opportunity and take advantage of it. A great illustration of this, of course, is salvation. And I still believe salvation is for whosoever will. I want to just keep saying that, all right? Thank God that the gospel is for everyone. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so here is an whosoever opportunity. You know, I'll send my son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, I'll send my son, I'll have him pay the sin debt, I'll have him gift wrap the gift of eternal life. But you know what? So I will give you salvation as a whosoever opportunity. Now, some people avail themselves of that opportunity, and some people do not avail themselves of that opportunity. Some people choose to accept that gift, and some choose to refuse that gift. And every man is created with the capacity of faith. The gift of faith is in you that God placed there, and you have the opportunity to exercise that faith. And you exercise that faith and put your faith in a lot of different things. And you make the choice to do that. For those of you that have any doubt about this, be very careful. Listen, I give no ground to the Calvinists. None. Somebody asked me once, are you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I'm a 0-point Calvinist. Them and me disagree from point one on. Because of something that they want to add to point one that is unbiblical. You know what, folks? If you don't think you have the ability to choose to exercise faith, and I want you to look up one phrase and just look Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Just get your computer, your concordance out, and here's the phrase: thy faith. Amen. Thy faith. Amen. You know what Jesus said? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Whose faith? Thy faith. Whose faith? Thy faith hath made. Not my faith. He didn't say my faith that I forced on you. He said thy faith. You chose, you exercised faith, you chose to put your faith in that. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That is not work salvation. So what they want to talk about is if we choose to put our faith in Christ, that's the type of work. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't know. Anyway, you got me started on that. Somebody got me started on that. But this is a whosoever opportunity. Salvation is a whosoever opportunity. But you know what? There's also some whosoever opportunities for every born-again believer. He that heareth these sayings in mine and doeth them. You have an opportunity. You have a copy. Aren't we blessed as Americans to have Bibles laying everywhere? We have an opportunity to have access to the written words of Almighty God. And so we have the opportunity to go and to hear them and to do them. And then, and that is a whosoever opportunity. That means that this that we're going to teach upon is available to every man. It's available to every woman in here, every teenager, every child. It's available to every marriage, to every home, to every church ministry. It's available to every endeavor and every undertaking. You know what? You have the opportunity to choose to listen to the words of God and obey them, and by doing so, build a proper foundation so that you can build upon it something that's going to withstand the storms of life. I mentioned this morning, I need to give you the dates, but Jesse and Heather are going to get married here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on June 1st. And so write that down, June 1st, all right? And then Tabitha and AJ are going to get married on August 4th. And so here's the thing. Well, this is exciting. You know what? God doesn't say to one of those couples, you know what? I'm going to give you the opportunity to build a home that can withstand storms, but you know what? I'm not going to give you that opportunity. They both have an equal opportunity to lay a proper foundation and build a house upon that foundation. Now, let me just say something to you. Look up here, and y'all know these kids pretty well. I know most of you don't know AJ real well, but Jesse didn't start coming to church, didn't get saved. He got saved a little bit early in life, but really didn't grow and come to church and develop much till later on. And you know where that, by the way, you know where he got saved as a young boy? Getting on a bus and riding it to Vacation Bible School at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Years before he started attending here regularly, that's how that young man got saved. Well, where's all these kids that got saved? Well, there's one of them, okay? They're out there. And so he got saved. I remember Heather, she first started riding the bus. Brother Tom went down and took a bus to Pleasantville and started rounding up some of them Pleasantvilleites down there, and she was one of the little gals that climbed on that bus and started coming to church. And you know, I'm just telling you what the truth is. You know, she came for a while and kind of stayed on the fringe for a while and then didn't come for a while and came for a while and kind of hit and miss and whatever, and a little bit here, a little bit there. But you know what? There came a day in her life when she went to one of our youth retreats, youth conferences, and she went to an altar and said, I'm going to become that wise person, he that heareth and doeth. And you know what? She came back and her entire hearing process changed. And she began to listen and she began to apply and she made the decision. She said, that's a whosoever opportunity I'm going to take care of. Amen. By the way, listen to me. Didn't come from a Christian home at that time. Didn't have Christian upbringing. Jesse, you know what? Good dad. Got a great dad. And I think raising Jesse in a lot of areas strongly, but you know, not real strong in church. Not in a good independent fundamental Baptist church being raised in that. And what I'm saying is this, you know, sometimes kids come later on in life and they think, well, yeah, if I'd have got that. No. Now, these two right here are PKs, okay, preacher's kids. I mean, but you know what? They still have to decide, just like Jesse and Heather had to decide. Are you kids listening to me? You know, there's kids raised up in this church that never make the decision from the nursery till they move the tassel, never make the whosoever determination in their heart to avail themselves to this opportunity to learn how to build a house. They sit, they listen, they're saturated, they're know-it's-all, they're buying their time, they sit there like we've got some right now, and you know, you're already standing there because you're so educated and smart, and you know, your intellect is so superior, and you just know everything, and you don't even need to hear this, I don't even know why I'm here, you know, type of attitude, and you've had that since you were this high. You know what? It's not being raised in church. It's making a decision while you're being raised in church. I'm going to become one of those whosoever wills. This is the point I'm going to spend the most time on tonight. And it could come later on. Some kids can come wandering in here, and you know what? They've seen it. They've watched the disasters out there. They hear something real. I want that. I'm going to take that up. Not just whosoever for salvation, but whosoever so that I can build a house that will withstand the storms of life. So he took advantage of an opportunity offered. Despite your background, despite your upbringing, despite your human flaws and frailties, despite mistakes made in the past, let me tell you something. This promise is for you. Whosoever. You can begin tonight to say, you know what? This is no longer just going to be a book, and sermons are no longer just going to be time to I put in. I'm going to start coming with an ear to hear and a heart to obey, and I'm going to start applying these things, and I'm going to lay the proper foundation so that everything I build from this point on withstands storms. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what storms come and wrecked what in the past. I don't care what you build on before. You can start tonight building your life on a solid foundation. So number one, he took an advantage of an opportunity offered. Number two, he trained his ear to hear. Now we're gonna do some preaching on this, and I can't do it all tonight. But there is a lost art. It's called the lost art of listening. He trained his ear to hear. This is the wise man became wise because he took advantage of an opportunity offered. Whosoever, but it was an invitation. He had to decide. Number two, he trained his ear to hear. We're going to teach you some of the Proverbs principles and show you what the book of Proverbs says on the importance of just hearing. We're going to remind you of something. The two ears, one mouth is for a reason, all right? There's a Bible principle there. Probably ought to listen twice as much as you talk. I can give you this. We're going to teach these things. I can give you seven specific causes of spiritual deafness. Yes, Jesus told the Pharisees they were dull of hearing. When we were in the hospital, the night I spent in the hospital with little Jackson, there was a room that was shared with some parents over there that had a newborn baby that was born with, Down syndrome. Little, sweet, beautiful baby boy. But you could already see he had the Down syndrome features. A nurse came in. She was trying to run some tests, and she come over and asked me to turn down my rock and roll music for a little while. But they were gonna give a hearing test. And I was watching the news or something, or a football game or something. She asked, could we turn up down, and could you do the best you can and just be quiet? And I said, oh, absolutely. And so they were checking this little baby for hearing. And a lot of times Down syndrome, that part of the things that comes with it, sometimes it'll affect their hearing. And so I'm not the mother, I'm not the father. I don't want to say on any level. But you know what? I don't even know this kid. And I am a nervous wreck waiting for them to get done with this. Because all the time I'm thinking, Brother Joe, you know, this little boy's going to have a lot to deal with. But to not hear, not to be able to hear on top of it. His name was Brian, is all I know. And I sat over there and prayed for him. And I listened to the nurse say, you know what, it's hard to have conclusive results at this phase. We're going to set you up for another hearing test. But right now, the results aren't real good on your child's hearing. And I sat there and thought, how tough. You know, some kids don't get the choice. They didn't get a choice. Some are born deaf. And they don't get a choice. But you know what, in this matter of spirituality, you get a choice. You get a choice. There's some things that will cause you, if you're not careful, what I call spiritual deafness. You know, having ears they hear not is what Jesus said about them. He said they have the capacity to hear, but they don't hear. Having ears they hear not. You know what? There are reasons for that. God didn't just say, I'm going to make you and you won't be able to hear anything spiritual. You won't be able to, you're going to have spiritual dullness. No, they made choices. There are things, listen, there are things in your life that if you don't get them out of your life, it's going to cause you to have spiritual deafness. You young men listening, you getting this? There's people right now sitting here and they are absorbing everything. It's not just young people, adults. Some of you, God bless you, I love you, you're as faithful, I can count on you, but I don't know if anything I said in 2011 made a difference in your life. I don't know if you are one inch farther down your spiritual life trail than you was at the beginning of the year last year. I don't have a clue. I don't see much evidence of it. You come and you hear, but you don't hear. You listen, but you don't hear. And there is a type of hearing that is developed by someone who becomes successful in their Christian life, developing an ear to hear in your children. You know where this training starts? It starts with your kids. We're going to talk about that. Some of you are already training children, training them, allowing them to have a dullness of hearing when it comes to authority figures, when it comes to the things of the Lord. You're allowing it. You're allowing it. And you're raising them to be that way. And then once they're that way, it is a challenge. It takes a miracle to turn that thing around. We're going to teach you some of those things this year. I'm not here to get on you. I'm here to try to save a generation. We have generations of kids being raised in independent fundamental Baptist churches that, you know what, for 18 years, they never hear it. They just don't hear it. They sat in thousands of Bible studies and under Bible sermons, and they do not have spiritual hearing, and they don't get it. So we want to do some teaching on that. Number three, he directed his hearing towards Christ. Notice this, it says, whosoever, there's the first one, heareth, that's the second, he trained his ear to hear, these sayings of mine, he directed his hearing towards Christ. Folks, it's just not a matter of hearing, it's who are you listening to? Now, we're going to spend some time teaching on the supremacy of the divine words of God. You know what? Listen, you can listen and you can read all kinds of stuff. If I get some of you to spend half the time reading the Bible that you do listening to Fox News. I mean, you can quote every guy on there. You know their names. You know their stats. They're your heroes. And their opinion means more to you than these words right here. Come on now. Come on. Amen. We're here. You know? He didn't say he that heareth the sayings of the guys on Fox News, or heareth the sayings of the USA Today, or hear the sayings of CNN, or who that hears the sayings of this backslidden carnal Christian. He said, listen to what I have to say. He directed his hearings towards Christ, the supremacy of the divine words of God, the willingness to listen to these words above any other word that's uttered by man. The words of this book ought to have more bearing on your life than any other single thing that's going on in your life. Please get as captivated by Christ's words as you do whoever's on the TV set. Please get as captivated by these words. And this will help you. He directed his hearing towards Christ. The foundational sayings, by the way. I pointed out to you the little word, therefore. Therefore, whosoever. There's a reason this parable's placed where it is. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What sayings? Now, yes, you're not wrong to take this and apply it to all of the scriptures, but I'm going to tell you, if you'll go back a few chapters, you will see that there is something called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. This is the last parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to take you through this. And if you will listen to this and get this, the Sermon on the Mount covers some foundational principles. And those are the primary principles that he's referring to when he says, therefore, these sayings of mine, what I just preached, what I just taught. You break these things down and you get the foundational principles of that. And you know what? You begin to build on those foundational principles found in this sermon right here. And I'm going to tell you something. You found rock. You found bedrock. You have found bedrock to build your life. We'll spend some time teaching on those things. If I was you, I'd begin to read them. You know, every time I watch somebody that was doing real well, seems like, you know what, they were growing and they were advancing in their Christian life and their spirit was good, and all of a sudden something starts getting awry. I watch this with some of our young people as far as our bus teams. And man, I don't want to mention names. Brother Levi, you know who I'm talking about right now. It just breaks my heart. We got some kids that for a while got... You know what the question I almost always ask, and I ask you this. I said, who's got his ear? I said this, somebody's got his ear. Isn't that interesting of all the things? I didn't say somebody's got his heart. I said somebody's got his ear. Who's he listening to? Who's she listening to? Let me ask you something. Who are you listening to? Who's got your ear? I mean, that may be the most important question. Who's got your ear? I mean, who... Through that little device you're carrying around, wields power over you with their words. They're controllers, they're enticers, they're scorners, and they got your ear. Bible doesn't say, whosoever heareth the words of a scorner, or hear the words of an enticer, or hear the words of a backslider, I'll tell you, no. He says, you listen to my sayings. My sayings. If I could get Christians today as excited to run into the... Maybe if I had to put a little thing that beeps in your Bible. Beep. I am. I'm gonna mark it, create and mark it, invent and mark it, the texting Bible. Amen. That's right. Just beep. Maybe if it just beeped every once in a while, you would run over there. Oh, my soul, let's see what stupid typed. And you know what? The people you're reading, they don't even know how to spell words. They don't know how to spell. At least God knows how to spell words. They don't even know how to spell words. But you will invest your life. Those sayings have huge influence in your life. And they... From a bunch of morons, a bunch of idiots. Just a bunch of human beings. But I can't get you in this book. I mean, I preach it. I try everything I know to do. I try to give you tools. I try to give you methods. I cannot get you in this book. And so he directed his hearing towards Christ. Who has your ear? We'll talk about that. I think I just did a little. Number four. And doeth them. He readied his heart to obey. The wise man became wise because he took advantage of an opportunity offered. There's a lot of people. Everyone's got the opportunity. Very few take care of it or take advantage of it. He trained his ear to hear. Dull of hearing. That defines a generation. Directed his hearing toward Christ. Christ-centered. I want to hear the words of God. I want to hear the words of Christ. That's what I want to know. Specifically, the Sermon on the Mount, the foundational sayings. He readied his heart to obey. James teaches us about the danger of being hearers and not doers. Are you a hearer or are you a doer? Why is it so... Watch, here's the question. Why is it so hard just to obey? I'm going to answer that question for you. I'm going to give you the answer to that question. Okay? I want to preach and teach on this. I like this. I'm just developing this. I'm having a good time with it today. What the devil does not want you to know about obedience. You know, let me tell you the thing the devil's most scared of that you guys will get. You'll wake up one day and say, you know what? I'm just going to obey every authority in my life with the sweet spirit immediately. Going to fight you tooth and nail. He can keep you thinking for some reason, poison your mind as if that is some weakness or surrendering of your manhood. And what the devil doesn't want you to know about obedience. I'm going to teach you about that. How to lay the axe to the root of rebellion. Single most important attribute in a child. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Show me all the other commands to children. Show them to me. Dig them out. Find any more. I'm not saying you won't find a few peripheral principles, but show me any more direct commands to children. The primary attribute developed in the first 12 years of a child is just a simple one. Learn to obey. And we've got 12-year-olds that, you know what, are walking around with defiance to this day. No matter what the rule is, I'm going to try to break it. No matter what authority says, I'm not going to do it. And they, you know, at 10, 11, 12, walking around with scorner's attitudes. God help us. I mean, we're in trouble, folks. Now, you don't realize you're in trouble. Your kid's in trouble. Preacher, how do I turn it around? Stick around. We'll help you with it. By the way, young people, I want to help you. I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. Okay, but it's not just kids. Hey, come on. Come on now. You know, they're just not slick enough to cover it up all the time like us professional adults are. Learn to walk in, put the little facade on, and act like we're going to listen and obey everything preached said, and then walk out and just do the opposite. The Word of God says. Single most important attribute in children. Number next, he exercised the character to build. I want to develop, we'll teach a month on this probably. You know, you can realize the opportunities for you. You can train your ear to hear. Direct your heart towards Christ. Ready your heart to obey. But you know what we are lacking? And this is something, I'm going to throw this out to you. The fool had this character trait. Yeah, the fool even had enough character to build. Now, how many of you guys are, come on, you've been involved in building projects. If you, blessed hope you have around here. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's certain attributes that have to be there. There's a builder's mentality. Some Christians have it, some don't. There's builder's tools. We'll talk to you about that. There's a character, the character to build. A builder's reaction to setbacks. All right, all you guys that have ever added onto your house, build, or whatever, been involved in anything. Okay, ahead of time, you do two things. Number one, you want to know two things. Number one, how much it's going to cost. And number two, how long is it going to take? And so you figure out how much it's going to cost, and then you figure out each step of it, how project, and how long is it going to take. Okay, now tell me two things that's going to come true after you get done with that. It's going to cost more than you think, and it's going to, you know what, folks? If you want to build something that's solid and lasting, it's going to cost more than you think, and it's going to take longer than you think it's going to take. It's going to cost more than you think, and it's going to take longer than you anticipate. And so there's going to be setbacks. And when you see a guy out building a garage or something, some of you that aren't haven't ever done that, and you just drive by and you think, and he's just kind of sitting there looking at it like this. You're thinking, good night. No wonder he's not getting it done. No, he's still trying to get it done. He's just trying to figure out how to fix what he just did wrong. So, ladies, come on, have a little mercy on the guy, all right? He may look like he's taking a break. He's not. Matter of fact, he's working harder at that moment than he was a minute ago when he was driving nails. I always say we built on a story and a half, built off to our house, story and a half, 24 by 20. I always tell everybody, I didn't build a 24 by 24 two-story. I built a 48 by 48 four-story because I did everything twice. And, you know, kind of learning as I was going, no, that's not right. Tear that down. What was I thinking, you know? And so, he exercised the character to build. A builder's mentality, his tools, his character, the reaction to setback, but then a builder's joy. And there is just, I'm going to tell you something. Of all the occupations in the world that I've ever done, I don't know if I've received more real joy outside of the ministry, but just hands-on than building, being involved in a building project. And you know what? There is a reward, a building a reward, to staying with it and doing it and building it right. And knowing that you've created something that's useful and is going to protect a family and keep them snug and warm. And you know what? It's going to last long past your death. People will drive by decades afterwards and point to a house properly built and say, well, I'll tell you, I don't know who built that house, but look at that. The lines are right. It's right. It's secure. And it's going to serve time. And then he selected, number six or seven, whatever we are, he selected the proper foundation upon a rock. It's all about Jesus, folks. I'm going to wind this up, but it's all about Jesus. There's a difference between rock and sand. Do you know what the difference is? I mean, take an actual look at the two. Do you know what it is? Well, here's a thought. What you don't see holds up what you see. What you don't see holds up what you see. Choosing wisely. You're building, parents, you know why we got to do this right? We got to pick the right foundation, because while you're building your house, you're building more than one house. While you're building your house, you're building more than one house. Because you're not just building your house. You're teaching your children how to build their house. So when you build your house, you're building more than one house. He selected the proper foundation. He foresaw the upcoming storms. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. The certainty of storms. I'm a little puzzled by Christians who just seem like they're totally taken by surprise because they entered a storm of life. I understand the novice Christian, the new Christian, I get that. I understand young people facing some of the first real challenges in their life, I get that. But seasoned veteran Christians that just, I mean, they're just taken as if by surprise because they're, and I mean bitter, and just like, well, folks, storms are certain. It doesn't say that they might come, it said they did come. And the certainty of storms, storm-proofing your life, learning how to do that. Think about this. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. God's very specific about what I call the tri-directional attacks. If you understand tri-directional attacks, you're not going to get as thrown by a storm. But one storm never comes from just one direction. It almost always comes and attacks three specific areas of your life simultaneously. And you've got to understand you and know you and understand how each attack works and know how to survive that. Did y'all, were y'all, I don't know where you were, maybe it just happened here, but just a little while ago there was this huge gust of, is it still real windy out? Is it coming in? But I mean, I'm sitting in the office probably about 5 o'clock this afternoon or something like that, and man alive, I mean, some gust of wind came and hit this church building, and I mean, it was throwing things across the yard, and I was thinking, to the point where I'm in this church a lot, and so I've been through storms. I mean, I look out, it's not raining, it's not, but I mean, it is rattling this place. And I sat there working on this, listening to those winds blow, Brother Joe. And I said, I'm glad, you know what, Brother Don Marion, Brother Bob Townsend, Brother Charles, and I'll miss some men that were there. I'm glad that group of men that was here that built this original building, they picked the right foundation. They built it right. They built it out of the right materials. I wasn't sitting in my office going, oh, I better run to the basement. You know what? This old building's taken on a lot of storms. And you know what? The rains beat on it, and the winds have blown, and the floods have come. Come on. Yeah. You haven't been here when the basements, but yeah, floods have come. Okay? But you know what? Here we are. Here it stands. Okay? There's something to learn there. And then he experienced the promised success. You know, after the storm has done its best, I wrote down this, three little pigs. Y'all get that story? Do they still tell that story? Do y'all tell that story to your kids, or is that outdated like everything else? You want me to tell it? If it didn't have Square Bob SpongePants in it, you wouldn't listen to it anyway. So, and I know it's SpongeBob SquarePants. I know, but I just like saying it the other way. I like Square Bob SpongeBob. I don't know why, but there's a reason he squishes. Amen. All right. Okay. We're moving right along. I mean, you know, isn't it interesting? Even here, it's a little children's story that when I was a kid, every parent told at some point, or you got a little book that told about. And I know that, you know, some different, but isn't it interesting that even some of those stories were teaching some Bible principles? And what was we taught at the end? You know what? You build your life out of cheap stuff, the big bad wolf's going to come and huff and puff and blow it over. You build it right, you know what? He can huff and puff all he wants. Well, folks, there is a big bad wolf out there. Sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's a big bad wolf out there, and he's going to huff and puff, and he's going to. But you know what? That third little pig that took the time to do it right, picked the right foundation, picked the right materials, built the house, not only did he provide shelter and protection for himself, but shelter and protection for those who had made mistakes in their life. You know what I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be? A strong enough church so that somebody whose house has been blown apart can run into this house and find refuge. That's what I want this church to be. I want it to be that. And then, once they find some refuge, we take a little time and say, now, listen, God wants you to go out and build. Don't let a disaster throw you off. Okay, you know what? The devil wins every once in a while. Let us teach you how to build the right kind of a house. And if we're doing that, you know what? We're not only doing a service to the kingdom of God, but we're doing a service to this community and to our country. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, a lot in a short time to ponder and think about. Lord, help us as we get into another year. And Lord, may we take these principles of life, these truths. And dear God, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us, because we always need the direction of the Holy Spirit of God and help. I know I do. And Lord, as I preach and teach and develop and study these things, Lord, help me. And help me, Lord, to be better for you. Dear God, protect our church. Help us to keep it right. Protect each of our families, Lord. May this be a very good year of strengthening, Lord, what you've given us here. And I pray that you'd help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.